Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
101.5 UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elson, kicking things off for us tonight. Louisville, Kentucky band Doomgong with What Was the Question? That's a new single. That band is in town August 31st on the long weekend playing at the Handsome Daughter. Encourage you to go check that band out unless you already have plans to go to the Leaf, where my guest for tonight, Secret Beach, will be playing that night. The new album is out today. It's called We Were Born Here. What's Your Excuse? We are going to get into my interview that I taped with Micah. He is busy getting ready for that show, but we are going to get into that in just a few minutes. Before we do, though, Cuff the Duke with a new single called Leaving It All Behind. So far as I know, the band still going strong, despite this feeling like a kind of a swan song type vibes to this song. Anyway, keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM. The name of the album takes a little tongue-in-cheek inspiration from The Simpsons, The Secret Beach's new album, We Were Born Here, What's Your Excuse? Winnipeg audiences have already had a chance to see it, but on August 31st, they'll see it in a different place, The Leaf, where Micah Ehrenberg and co. will play a special show, and he joins me on this show to talk about it. Welcome to the show, Micah.
Hey, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I always have happy to have you back on the show and talk about your music and hear some of your music. You did a show, beginning of the month, Blue Note show, and then now you're going to cap things off with this Leaf show. Was it like important to have like a couple opportunities to play for local audiences in between tour stops, or what prompted the double bill?
What really prompted the double bill was that I kind of just thought it would be cool to play at the Leaf. And to be honest, I had the Blue Note show booked, and And when the Leaf approached me and asked me if I'd play the show, I just thought, yeah, I mean, that sounds really cool. And like me and my girlfriend Casey were walking through the Leaf a couple months ago, and we were kind of like, it'd be really funny if they had shows here, and like kind of sweet. And then like they asked us like
So you
a couple
had
weeks later.
been to the Leaf before they asked you.
Yes,
And
and had said it would be cool to play here. And and then they asked, so it was like I kind of couldn't say no, you know.
what?
And also I just figured, like it's a totally different type of thing, you know, to play at the Blue Note. It's a whole show. There was other bands playing, you know, it's a nighttime thing, and it's a kind of a big presentation with like, you know, I'd have all my stuff for putting out the album, the merch and the records. That won't be at the Leaf. Like I'll have a handful of stuff, but it won't be like that, you
Right.
know?
The
Yeah.
vibes are
So
different.
totally different vibe. The Leaf is like, you know, you could bring your kids or what, or people might just show up not knowing who we are, type of thing. I mean, I'm assuming so. I don't know. Maybe it's gonna be like, you know, the Winnipeg Folk Festival all over again, but I think it'll be closer to the to a casual vibe.
What was it
Yeah.
about when you were at the Leaf that made you think it would be interesting to have a show there?
Have you been to the Leaf?
Yes, I have. Yes.
I mean, like it's just the best place in Winnipeg. Like it just feels good in there, right? Like how where it's like if somebody asked you to go and play in some other tropical environment, but you didn't have to travel all the way there.
Right. Gotcha. I thought like maybe there
It's
was something about the
cool.
acoustics or like something
I don't
specific
know.
about it.
I just love the Leaf. There's just something about it. I just think it's like the best thing ever. And maybe I don't know. Somebody else thinks differently, you can let me know, but I think the Leaf is great.
Will you tailor your set for the environment? Like, are you thinking of doing things differently as a, like different songs or different setups for songs as a result of playing in a different space like that?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that yet.
Sure enough.
Still 2 weeks to go. I should also mention we are actually playing the day after the Leaf at the Ship and Plow in Gimli.
Okay, and that's close enough for Winnipeg audiences to make a trip or for folks within our broadcast range to know about it. So,
Well,
and
it
that's kind of a
is.
hometown show for you too now that you're in Matlock, right? Like you're kind of closer to Gimli.
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up in Matlock and Gimli, and the Ship and Plow was kind of always the. I mean, that what before it was a different bar, and that was the first bar that I really played in consistently. Before I would like they were the only folks that would they let me play there before I turned 18 and stuff, because they had some laws that they could, you know, get around or whatever. If I was on, I'd sit on one side of the bar basically. But like, so it's an old. You know, it's like my old favorite kind of place to go. And it's done again, it's a totally different thing. There's like, you know, that'll be like a it's the Sunday of the long weekend, so there will be a different type of crowd there. It'll be maybe a little bit it'll be a later show. It's like a ticketed event. It'll be more of a bit of a presentation, so to speak. Our presentation. I think the Leaf will be really cool. I think it'll be a really nice presentation, but it's like I think more so we're going to show up at the Leaf and play, yeah, maybe a set that's a little bit I don't want to say family friendly or something. Like it's all going to be the same. It's just going to be different. I don't think that we're going to curate the set, so to speak, to be different. It's just going to be different. It's just going to be a little bit. You just do that, you know, like when you're playing at a bar versus when you're playing it at a coffee shop in the daytime or the Leaf, you know, it's like, okay, we're gonna you just feel it out. You feel it how what's gonna be the right vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that you I mean obviously like this being surrounded by plants it's just even the vibe even if you played the same song on a stage as a Ship and Plow and the night before you played it in front of like a hibiscus tree or something like that it would feel different.
That is so true. And you know what? I bet you were going to learn some really interesting things because about the songs, even ourselves, like as playing, because of the fact that who knows what kind of impact these exotic plants will have on our minds and bodies. and maybe there'll be like a whole new thing.
Well, speaking of having things have an effect on your mind, Planet Waves, the Bob Dylan and the Band album. I want to transition to the making of your album, but the root of it apparently is rooted in the album Planet Waves and your appreciation for that album.
Right.
So, like, how long have you been into it? And, like, what was it about that specific record that was resonating with you?
Well, I was just, Casey and I were listening to Planet Waves a lot at, I think, I want to say it was about 3 years ago. And it was just sort of, maybe it was more than that, 3.5 years ago or so, whatever it was, doesn't matter. Just sort of thinking about the production style of it and writing the songs, writing some of the songs for the album, and then deciding, oh, I'm going to actually try to, it wasn't so much try to, you know, write songs like Bob Dylan or try to, you know, play like the band or something like that. It was more like, I liked the fact that the ethos of the record was these folks get together, they haven't seen each other in years, they haven't heard any of the songs, they do 3 songs a day, they record the songs 3 or 4 times, and as they're playing them, they're learning them, and they're choosing between these 3 or 4 first times of them playing it. And I just thought that's kind of cool, you know, like, for one, it takes a certain type of skill or musicianship to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to find people that could do that in order to do it. And then also, there's something that you just can't get from sitting with something and tracking over and over again. Now, in the end, there's only 6 songs in the album that were from that session. So the other 9 songs are done differently. You know, like there's some that I just did by myself, and then there's a few that we did tracked, me and other people. So it's just part of the album. But in the end, I ended up getting in touch with Rob Fraboni, who is the guy that produced and mixed and mastered Planet Waves. And we ended up having a session together where we sort of pre-mixed the album, and he kind of showed me all this cool stuff about recording and stuff. So there's sort of, you know, it sort of had many different aspects in the making of the record.
So
was the Planet Waves influence.
The stuff that he showed you, like you mentioned that there was only 6 songs from that ended up in 9 others. Like, did you apply some of the lessons you learned from Rob to those other 9 songs, or like, are they of a piece with those in some sense?
Big time. Like, basically I called him up, didn't hear back from him for a long time. Eventually I got an email from him and he was like, sorry, my life's been crazy. We should maybe do something together. I asked him about mastering 1 song. And he's, you know, responded. He gave me a call and he said, hey, you know, I can totally master this song. I can maybe get it, you know, 20% better, but I could also mix the song and we could maybe get it, you know, 50% better. And then he was like, do you have any other songs? And I kind of was like, yeah, but I don't know about my budget. And he just said, well, just send me your other song. So I sent him all the songs that I had done in that session. And he was like, yeah, you should just come here and I'll give you a deal that you can't refuse. Like, just come to New York. We will mix it together. I'll show you kind of what I do and whatever. And then he was like, why don't you spend the next, you know, few months making some more tracks? You might as well come here and do as many as possible. So that's what inspired me to do a bunch of stuff alone, was because at that point I was like, okay, I'm already going to this session. Might as well, you know, you're going to fly, the bulk of the cost is flying there and renting a studio. Adding another 6 or 8 or 9 songs into the mix is not a, you know, that big of a addition once you're already doing that. So went to his place with a lot more songs, and throughout the recording, throughout those few months, like it was between January and June that I first spoke to him and that we did our mixing. So it was almost half a year. And as I was recording those songs, we were chatting. We'd chat on the phone. He would give me tips about gear and about recording and about all sorts of stuff that influenced how I was recording that music. So it had, he had a big input on that part of things too.
What was the best piece of advice he gave?
I think that it was not like he's just said it once, like it was more so his action of, but his like constant ethos of don't spend too much time on anything. Like once you get the magnifying glasses on, as he would say, you are now seeing the music as in a way that nobody else will see it. And you have to do whatever you can to keep the magnifying glasses off, to always be seeing the production and the song from as close of a distance as the listener will be. So when we were mixing, he would sit down, he would mix for, he would sort of bring up the tracks on the board and quickly listen to everything and quickly assign everything to its channel strip. Like that would be like, you know, say the kick drum and the overhead microphone of the drums and the guitar will each have their own treatment, so to speak. The one will go through a compressor or a certain preamp or an equalizer or something. So you make those decisions for all your tracks very fast and then walk away and then come back. You know, he'd walk away, eat some pistachios or something, or go outside and then come back and do the faders, kind of bring everything up and do all the pans and levels really quick, take a break. Like each song took maybe 2 or 3 hours to mix, but the actual time mixing was only about an hour. And that was, he sort of, you know, wanted to, all he always was saying, like, that's the main thing, is you put too much, you start to think about something too much, you start to make bad decisions.
So like that's the don't get lost in the weeds kind of a thing.
Don't get lost in the weeds, because nobody else is going to be lost in the weeds when they're listening to your song. Unless, like if you do, if you're overkill, then people will get lost. They'll end up getting lost in the weeds too, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So then you obviously did that with the 6 songs with him, but then applied that same sort of ethos to your own songs afterwards.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and then like, so we mixed 15 songs together or 14 songs together.
Okay.
And very fast in 4 days. And it was mostly like a workshop, you know, like there was, we got a lot done and maybe too much done. Like we worked a little too fast, like almost like the opposite of what his advice was. But they were really good mixes, but there was one song that we just didn't have enough time and we just didn't finish it. And so I came home and decided I'm going to try to get that song sounding similar. And then as I did that and I kind of started to apply his techniques, I kind of realized, oh, I could probably do this whole album with Rob's influence and with his advice and with all the stuff that he taught me in about 2 weeks. So I just did a song a day. Instead of a song every 2 or 3 hours, I did a song a day for 2 weeks. And that's how I mixed the album. So it was, we had mixed everything together, and then I came home and mixed everything myself, is basically how it went.
Gotcha. Now, as far as the specific tracks on the album, like, do you feel that there's like a thematic link amongst them all, or was this a situation where like you just had a bunch of new tracks and you just kind of wanted to get them out into the world? Like, how did you view the pieces that make up this kind of particular puzzle?
Originally the latter. I kind of thought, oh, there's just a bunch of songs. Like I had spent a month prior to that first recording session, the like Planet Waves quote unquote style recording session, the initial recordings of the album, I had spent a month prior to that writing for that. And so there was a certain theme about it. And I ended up using maybe 10 or so of those songs are on the album, and the other 5 are songs that I had written either before that or after that. And so I guess it wasn't until I was really mixing it and putting it together that I realized that there was a theme, and it sort of ties into the album title, which is that each song has a place sort of for me, and those places are in Manitoba. So it's not really something that the listener might know or might get or might feel, but it's, I mean, kind of selfishly, the album title is personal, you know, like, because it's like, it reminds me of Manitoba. Every song has a very visual or it just has a very tangible memory with every song, and they're all set in Manitoba, to me at least.
So if it has a personal geography, is it like vague enough that you think like other people can kind of relate or connect to a song without it being directly tied to the specific place that you were thinking of when you wrote it?
Well, yeah, because it wasn't written that way. This was just sort of what I realized afterwards. It was more so of looking back on this period of time when I had sort of constructed this album. And a big part of it is because I made a lot of the album in Saskatchewan, and I finished it and mixed it in Saskatchewan. And so therefore, when I was doing it, I was sort of able to, you know, same thing, take a step back and take the magnifying glasses off and be like, oh, this is an album that belongs in this other place to me. But to other people, I think it's just an album. Like, I don't think that, I mean, maybe the title would be a little bit odd for somebody that's not from Winnipeg, but I don't know if, I think maybe a person from Manitoba or Winnipeg might relate to the album a little bit more, like maybe 10% more, but not that much more. And I think that somebody that's not from Manitoba would be able to hear the album as anything else that I would make or anybody else would make, and maybe they just wouldn't get the title. You know,
did you work on it in Saskatchewan because of Casey and Clayton?
Yeah, well Casey's my partner, so she and I live out here a lot of the time. Yeah, like I didn't work on it, you know, not necessarily because of Clayton, but definitely because of Casey, and Clayton is on it. He came and played some pedal steel on the song, and Casey's on it, of course. And
gotcha. So I was thinking, because, I mean, you have your studio set up in Matlock, or maybe that's, you no longer have that.
I have my studio set up wherever I am right now. All my stuff is in Saskatchewan. I do a lot of mobile work, so I'll just sort of go wherever I need to. I did have the space in Matlock for a long time, and I might go back and do some recording there in the next, like in the end of the year. But I'm pretty mobile. I'm pretty pretty mobile. This is at least my active space right now is here.
You did loop in a couple of other Winnipeggers though on the record, Liam and Fontaine. Like, how important, like, were, like, getting people who were on board with the, like, Planet Waves vibe, like, in terms of, like, finding a band that was, like, willing to do just a few takes and kind of leave it at that?
How hard was it, or how...
How important was it to, like, find people who were kind of on board with that?
Well, it was absolutely very important, because if they weren't, it was not going to work at all. The people, like, it was, you know, Dan Burtnick and Matt Philopoulos are two guys that I have played with for years, and, like, they played drums and bass, and... I knew that we had played live enough, and we, you know, would throw in a new song here or there enough times that I knew that they would be totally up for it. And Liam and Austin was on it too. Fontaine was not there for that session. Fontaine came to another session later on to do like an overdub thing. But Liam and Austin are great players, and I just told them that that's how it's going to be. And there is a certain level of prep, you know, like I didn't show up with nothing. I showed up with the songs, with the lyrics charted out. It was not going to be that hard to do it. It was mostly the fact that I didn't want people to think about what they were playing too much. I wanted them to more so come up with something in the moment and commit to it and finesse that initial thing. So it was really important to work with people that were able to mostly have fun with it and know that it was just a fun time. And I told them, like, we recorded 15 songs or 16 songs, and I said, if we get three, I'll be happy. And we ended up getting six. There's others that are good too. I just haven't released or haven't mixed or whatever. Maybe I'll put them out sometime. But yeah, it was, absolutely super important to have people involved that would be into that. And I think there's a lot of people like that in Winnipeg. And I think people do it more and more, in the music scene of just getting together and playing live together. I think that that's like something that people are really into these days, which is great. And there's a lot of musicians that, want to track things, overdub things, and put a lot of time and effort into making things kind of perfect or whatever. That's cool too, but it's just you just get a different result, and there's a lot of people that are really capable of doing that. So it was important, but it also wasn't. It was more so about choosing who just wanted to have a great time for a week and hang out and have fun with it,
Well, speaking of having a great time, let's share in that. Let's get you to pick a track off of the record that we can play for listeners. Give them a little taste of what's to come on August 31st and September 1st in Gimli and at the Leaf.
Well, I wonder if you could play a song that is not released yet. Does that work?
I'm fine with
It'll be
that.
out. It'll be out on the 23rd. That's okay.
That's okay, yeah, because this will air on the 23rd.
Perfect. So this song is called Hat's Way of Walking, and it was written by an artist known as the Famous Sandhogs, who you might be aware of. Amazing, incredibly prolific Winnipeg songwriter, recording artist, incognito. Nobody knows who it is. And has put out over 60 albums of seemingly endless material comprised of their own work and also lyrics of submitted poems, fan submitted poems that they turn into productions. It's a really genius project, and I've become pretty close with the person who does it over the years of kind of being obsessed with them. I think as far as artistic value goes, if you want to put aside whatever the commercial or popularity and all that stuff, you want to put that aside, I think the Famous Sandhogs are right up there with one of the greatest artists that I've ever come across. And so yeah, so I put this song on there I put their song on this album, and it's called Hat's Way of Walking.
Right, well, we'll give that one a listen. August 31st at the Leaf, September 1st at the Ship and Plow, and then you hit the road for a significant stretch there in the fall, right?
Yeah, basically throughout all of September and half of October.
All right, well, Micah, thanks very much for taking some time. Congrats on the release and safe travels on the road in the upcoming swing.
Thank you so much. It was great chatting with you. And yeah, thanks for having me. Maybe we'll see you and anybody that's listening around soon. One, two, three.
This is a hat's way of walking, a hat's way of walking from top to top and from spot to spot. This is a hat's way of walking, a hat's way of walking, not a leg up or a leg down, by presumptuous frown. Silent spring or birds without wings, and oh how they sing to those who have things, but I tried to put it down. Instead, I put it down on my ears. Algae basket, French fry sun, surreptitious alien, keyboard Jesus. Which do you prefer? Yeah, which do you prefer? I told you about the flaming piano. to the grass now. Just relax. This is a hat's way of walking. A hat's way of walking. Fingers move the grass now. Just relax. Sunshine.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. Right before the break, Lauren Mann, past guest on the show, and Johnny Aitken, a collaboration on a track called Medicine. That is, of course, a song about truth and reconciliation. And as the calendar is set to turn to September, time to start thinking about the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation on September 30th. We've got some local acts who are going to be making the trip out to Portage to play the Whoopin' Holler Festival this weekend coming up next. We've got Sweet Alibi and Hello Fiasco, two of the headliners, both past guests here on the show. Then we got something new from Jay Arner, his new project Energy Slime. Going to duck into some older stuff that I haven't played that I just dug, like Ezekiel Paez and Mirror Tree, and a brand new track from Anna Butters from a forthcoming record that'll be out in October on International Anthem. We got something from Badmanka Vintage, which I guess translates to Vintage Batman. And we featured an interview with Micah Ehrenberg of The Secret Beach. We've got another act of similar name out of BC, Secret Beaches. This is a kind of ambient electronic artist. Gonna play you that. I've got something for you. We'll hand things over to After Eight Rita with some more electronic music. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I knew sweet little lady, summer cold crazy. And a bank was full. She had this one idea to teach a money grubbing children stuff is temporary, and you just can't take it with you when you go.
Thank you. so boring. Should I stop talking and sing? I have a feeling that you're burning.
Thank you.